on ABC Radio Hobart Breakfast. My name is John X. Thanks for joining us. The word resilience, or resilient, it's a word that we don't hear as often as we used to. They don't make us as resilient as we used to, apparently. This is what I'm told. I looked it up in the dictionary. The word resilience means toughness, the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. But rumour has it most parents want their kids to be resilient, but apparently some of us are teaching them the exact opposite without even realising that we're doing it. Now, leaders in business, etc., want a resilient workforce, but in fact we're doing it where we're rewarding the opposite. I mean, you get certificates now for just participating in stuff, you know, as opposed to just, you know, getting through stuff or achieving something. We can manage this and create resilient children, apparently, who are set up to deal with the normal challenges of life. How do we do this? This morning, for The World According To, Luke Ross is the director of Social Intelligence Group. He's also an HR expert and was a psychologist in the military as well, and he joins me. Good morning, Luke. Are we not teaching our kids to be as resilient as we were in the old days?
Well, it's a good question. There's a lot of programs in school at the moment that are focused on the grit methodology, and that has come a long way to teach kids resilience. But interesting, if we look at the education system, it has changed a fair bit. If we look at sporting arena, that has changed a fair bit. And interestingly, the opportunities for kids to fail has reduced.
Oh, that's good, because we were, for a while there, I'm assuming we're still doing it, giving out awards for people just simply participating, basically. I guess that doesn't help with the resilience training, does it?
No, not really. And it was really, really interesting experience. So I was in the Army for a long time as a military psychologist. And one of the things that I noticed when I first joined the Army versus, you know, later on in the Army is there was definitely and this is just a personal view, but there was definitely a difference in the resilience of the kids coming through. And I can always remember in officer training, we every now and again in more recent years, we'd had these really, really bright young officer trainees come through. Mm. And they'd been really, really successful at school, but they hadn't actually had any exposure to failing at school. And then they come into the officer training, and academically they do well. But then they get told, I'm sorry, you know, you failed on character grounds or you failed on personality grounds. And this is an absolute shock to them. Not only are they failing, but they're failing on something that they can't, in their mind, they can't necessarily change. And maybe it would explain to them what they've failed on. You know, it would be things like, you know, character, looking after people before, looking after themselves and all those sorts of things, the key things that an officer needs to be able to do. And they would have one of two responses. The first response is they would say, well, that's it, I'm leaving, I can't handle the failure. Hmm. Or the second response is they would hang in there, they may get back squatted, they may have to repeat some sections, and interestingly, they would make some of the best officers.
Oh, it's interesting. And is this something that is only pretty much in the Western world? Like, are the Europeans, have they always been able to keep the resilience levels up on their generations?
I think it's culture by culture. You know, in terms of the global sort of research doing levels of resilience, I'm not aware of much work that's been done in that space. But you definitely see some cultures are more resilient than our cultures. And that, interestingly, that's what they make a lot of movies out of, and they make fun of, and they make comedies out of, and things like that. In my opinion, we've definitely got a little bit softer because we have just taken away some of those times when you really, really, really do fail. And it's not for all kids and it's not for all adults. It's just in some areas we just remove those opportunities. And failure is so important.
Yes, we're almost afraid as parents, and I've got like a three-year-old, to even introduce them to failure. Like, no matter what they do, we're always going, oh, well done, that's great, you're amazing, what a little genius, you know, no matter what they do. So you're basically saying it's good to recognise failure and to have failure and learn how to get yourself out of it and pick yourself up again and keep going.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. You know, there's it's actually really damaging to tell someone you failed. If you don't say, okay, here's what you can learn from it, here's how you can, exactly as you said, get yourself out of it, and here's how you can develop from it. Because if you just reinforce that someone is failing without any of those learnings, all you're going to do is erode their self-esteem and their belief in themselves and their self-assurance, and they're going to get into a downward sort of spiral. It's not going to boost their confidence. You know, but I'll use a personal example with my daughter, Charlotte, who's 12 years old. I'll absolutely tell her when she has, for example, in social interactions at school, and you've got to feel sorry for my kids. You know, I'm a psychologist and my wife is a psychologist. You've got to feel sorry for them. But I'll actually tell her, you know, in social situations, right, you were not your best self then. You really let yourself down. Here's what I think you should do next time. What are your thoughts? And had that discussion. So not blame the other kid, not say the other kid. And it doesn't even matter whose fault it is. It's about giving your kids these resilient skills, these resilient social skills to be able to succeed as they get older.
And you did so mention at the start that it is changing, but because it needs to change a lot more because it does affect, like you're saying, in the workforce down the track, yep. Doesn't it, when people get older and start looking for employment and start getting jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the workforce, what we know is that the rate of change is increasing, the breadth of change is increasing, and the frequency of change is increasing. And as humans, we're not programmed very well to deal with change. The default position with change for most people is change equals loss.
Mm.
Whereas what we know resilient individuals do is they look at change and they say change equals gain. So no matter what happens, if it's an org restructure, all right, what am I going to get out of this? How am I going to develop from it? Whereas most people think, oh, I'm going to lose my job, or right. I'm going to lose my boss, or I'm going to lose my security, my position, my value, whatever it is.
Mm.
So teaching kids those sorts of things to really, no matter what comes down the pipe at them in life, grab it with both hands and have the change equals gain mindset.
I'm talking to Luke Ross, who's the Director of Social Intelligence Group, and we're talking about resilience. Luke, what is social intelligence in a nutshell?
Well, social intelligence has actually been around for a long time. And what it really is, it is the ability to build cooperative relationships with others. And it has three really sort of major components. It has emotional intelligence, which most people have heard of. It has the resilience piece. And it also has behavioural intelligence. And those three things combine together to be able to help you build effective cooperative relationships with others.
Right. That's interesting. Because I know as a parent with my three-year-old, like you try yep. and – there's no – we've only got one, so there's no – I didn't really necessarily – I mean, there are books, I guess, but there's no sort of yep. like strict one way sort of to raise a child, and you pretty much raise them, I guess. You learn a lot from your own parents. In one way, I'm yep. a bit lucky in that I'm of Greek origin, so I have yep. Greek parents who are very resilient and have been, you know, all their lives yep. and amazing because they come from that culture and from the hardship of growing up in a village in the mountains and
yep.
all that stuff. And then the other side, I have my wife who's a clinical psychologist and deals with kids with autism and Asperger's as well.
Yep.
And so she's so I guess my daughter's getting both levels of.
Yep.
Good parenting, I guess. What could we do as parents? Like, what before I let you go, what can we start doing? What are some of the tips for trying to build resilience amongst our little toddlers as they're growing and learning?
Absolutely, let them fail, and don't wrap them in cotton wool. You know, it's if I use a physical example, it's really important that kids fall out of trees. It's yeah. really important that kids fall over. It's really important that kids really, really, really get out of breath when they're running, when they're exercising. And this is quite a controversial view.
Mm.
It's really important that kids learn how to deal with being bullied. Interestingly, if we eradicate, and I'm not talking really nasty victimization of physical, but I'm talking schoolyard bullying, because when we get into the workplace, you don't have a headmaster who's going to protect you. You get bullied in the workplace. It's just a different form. Some people call it organisational dynamics. But being able to handle the political environment of the workplace is actually taught in the political environment of the schoolyard.
If we take
that away too much, we're creating a sort of a situation where kids won't be able to deal with it when it actually happens in the future.
That's interesting. It's something that I guess it got worse there for a while. I mean, growing up in the 70s for me, I did all that. I got out of breath. I hurt myself all the time and crashed my bike and, you know, yes. all sorts of that stuff, which I guess a lot of kids don't do. We went to this mode where we didn't send kids outside much anymore. But you're saying that this is sort of changing now slightly, and it's for the better.
I don't know if it is changing. I know we're teaching the cognitive elements of resilience. I'm not sure we're doing as much as the physical elements. We're aware of it, but in some ways we're potentially going too far, and we're protecting kids too much. And I'm not talking about being negligent, but I'm talking about creating a situation where they learn to deal with the social and the physical environments that they're going to have to deal with as adults.
Yeah, you're spot on there, Luke. I like what you're saying. It's some great stuff, and we just need to keep doing it and keep making kids more aware and happy, and you know that aware that they can fail and learn from what they're failing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with failing.
Nothing wrong, Luke. Fantastic. Thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
All right, have a good one.
Luke Ross, their Director of Social Intelligence Group.